worship the Lord and celebrate what he has done and is doing. But before we get into the message here today, going to have some fun, all right? Going to challenge some of your memories a little bit. And what I want to ask here this morning is simply this. How many of you have or had a favorite comic strip or a favorite comic book? All right. What are some of those? Name some of them. Dagwood and Blondie. All right. Dilbert. Who said that one? Bob. All right. Someone else. What? Superman. There we go. What else? Peanuts. Yep. Yep. For sure. What is it? Garfield and Beetle Bailey. All right. Any others? What's that? Far Side. All right. Well, I'm going to take us down a little bit of a memory lane here on some of that. And we'll go to the next slide there. And this kind of a conglomeration of some. So Flintstones and Yogi Bear and some Westerns and all that type of thing. Go to the next one. Beetle Bailey, you had that one. Go to the next one. This one I thought was special. This is Lois, High and Lois, right? That's your favorite, right, Lois? All right, all right. Go to the next one, Dick Tracy. Anybody remember that far? Oh, a bunch of us, huh? All right. Blondie and Dagwood? You got it? All right. What about BC? All right. What about Hagar, the Horrible? Garfield? Oh, let's, I don't know if you can see it well enough. I don't know if I can see it well enough on this paper, but it reminds me of this morning, how slow everyone was coming in, all right? Because it has him there saying, okay, time to get up. Again, got to get up right away. Yes, sirree, indeed, I do need to get up. Then he's asked, what are you doing? Fooling myself. Oh, wish that was more clear. You could see it. All right, go to the next one. Dilbert. And then Peanuts, right? What about this next one? Mutt and Jeff. Anybody remember that one? Oh, wow. All right. What about the next one? Family Circus. This was Pastor Kari's favorite. All right, and then Superman, we got you in there. What about the next? Spider-Man. All right, and then Pickles. Now, this last one I'm going to just try to read again if I can, because this one might be kind of all of our, or not all, but half of our story here today. This is, you're sitting in my chair, Nelson. Do you know what happens to people who sit in Grandpa's favorite chair? They gradually start to turn into an old man like me. Oh, look, I think I see a bald spot already on your head. Well, why do we bring up these comic strips and comic books? It's because I remember when I was growing up, my dad gave me this comic book of the Bible, okay? It was the Bible in comic book form, and it's the one that he and his brother had when they were young. Now, I would have brought it here this morning, except for the fact that I've already given it to my oldest son and for his little boys. But I got to tell you that when I was growing up, I learned a lot of Bible reading that comic book kind of way of telling the stories, where you have each of those boxes and you have those individuals and the words even out of scripture in those comic book. Anybody have anything like that when you were growing up? Anybody at all remember anything like that? Oh, really? You just got one. So Art's buying those in the yard sale now, huh? All right. I wish I'd have known that. I had him bring it. But the reason I want us to think about this a little bit is that all of you in your bulletin insert received a piece of paper, a very large piece of paper, all right? You see it there? unfold that, if you would. Today, we're going to be developing our own little comic strip, except it's not because it's a funny story, it's because it's a true story, but it's a story that we need to remember, all right? And here's what I'd like to throw out to you, just a little bit of a challenge. I'd like to throw this challenge out, that if you will take that and put together the pictures for each of those boxes as you think they should be, and then bring it back next Sunday, we will have some prizes for those who will do that. We'll have prizes for kids, we'll have prizes for teens, we'll have prizes for adults, all right? For the best comic book description of the story, all right? Is that, how many are in on that? All right, Judy, you're in on it. All right, okay, we got a few more. We got a few more. So I hope that you'll do that. We do. We'll accept any kind of stick figure, any way you want to do it. You may not win, but you can do stick figures. Say what? Oh, a special stick figure category. Oh, maybe we'll have to consider that. Pastor Kari and I will meet, and we'll discuss the merits of that. You will notice, though, this morning that the story has already been started. You'll see in those first three boxes the cross, the crosses, an empty tomb, and then the gift of the Holy Spirit. What we'd like to suggest today as we're in Acts chapter 5 is that what we're talking about today is just simply the continuation of the story of Jesus. Because that's really what the book of Acts deals with, isn't it? That as Jesus died on a cross and as those who loved him and followed him saw him buried in a tomb, we celebrated last Sunday the fact that when they went to the tomb on that first Easter morning, he was no longer in the tomb, that he had been raised from the dead, and then he began to appear to different ones, and they realized that, in fact, that was all true. But Jesus said that, stay in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father is given to you. And those kids that studied the book of Acts this year in Bible quizzing, you know, what's Acts 1:8? Any of our quizzers here give us Acts 1:8? Yeah. Here, I'll get a mic to you. Acts 1:8.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
That was Landon, in case you didn't know. That's it. That was the promise. And they stayed in the upper room. And God's Holy Spirit did come on them. And God changed them. You know, when God comes on and into his people, God changes people, doesn't he? And today we're going to be in Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, it tells the story of how even these disciples began making a difference in the lives of the people that they were ministering to. And even that fourth box then has a part of that scripture. The apostles healed many and many believed. I mean, they carried on the ministry of Jesus. They were doing God's work. But that's not the whole story. And so now Pastor Kari is going to come and help us hear and see the whole story.
One of my favorite parts about being a children's pastor is that kids experience the story of God through their imaginations. And it's so much fun when we are telling the story of God and they're imagining it and they ask some of the best questions, the hardest questions, and I have to say, I don't know, that's a good thing to wonder about. So this morning, when I was a kid, I was told to put on my imagination cap, and then I would imagine something. And so this morning, we're going to put on our imagination caps, put on your imagination caps. There we go. And we are going to imagine what it would have been like to experience this story. The story is found in the book of Acts, chapter 5. And so if you want to open your Bibles, you can do that. But we're really going to tell it as a story today. And so enter in and let's experience today what the apostles may have experienced during this time. So as we have talked about, they spent all of this time with Jesus, heard all of the things that we read about. They heard him say those things. They watched him do those things. They watched his body die on a cross. They saw him alive again 3 days later. And he spent a little bit more time with them. And then he ascended to heaven. Then came the Holy Spirit. All right? And so now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the apostles are doing awesome, awesome things. And they're continuing to see God do these amazing things through the Holy Spirit that was at work in their lives. So imagine that. You're going around, and through the power of God, you're able to see people be healed. And so many people would come, and the Bible tells us that they would put all the sick people, they would lay them on mats on the streets, and then they would hope and they would pray that Peter's shadow would go over those people who were sick, because then they would be healed. That's how powerful the work of the Holy Spirit was in the lives of the apostles during this time. So they are healing, and so many people are coming, and they're watching all of these people be healed, and the apostles are giving all the credit to the one who deserves the credit, and they're talking about Jesus, and they're teaching about him, and they're preaching about him. But then there was a group of leaders that became very jealous about what was happening. The high priest and his associates, they were very jealous about what was going on. This name Jesus that they were hearing so much, the amazing things that were happening in his name, and they didn't like it. And so they were so jealous that they arrested the apostles and they put them in jail. So if we're imagining that, if we're the apostles, and we have been watching these awesome things happening in the name of Jesus through the Holy Spirit, and now these high priests, these guys, they don't like us. They don't like what we're doing, and so they arrest us and they put us in jail. Let me pause right there, and I just want to ask, what at this point do you think that the apostles might be feeling? As we're entering into this story, what do we feel now as the apostles? We have been put into jail. So this can come from kids, teens, adults. What are you feeling right now? Fear, good one. Anything else? Landon? Unfair, yeah, it's not fair. That's a good answer. I heard one over here. Abandonment, that's good. Frustration. I wonder, from a human perspective, I wonder if there was ever a thought of wondering, is God really on our side in all of this? In my humanness, I just wonder if they're doing all these things and they're seeing God do all of this work and they're obeying him and they're listening to him and they're proclaiming his name and then they get sent to prison. I just wonder if there was a thought of like, really? We've been doing everything right. Why are we in prison? Is he really on our side in all of this? But then the Bible goes on to continue the story. During the night, an angel of God ordered that the jail doors were open, and he freed the apostles, the disciples. So they're in jail at this point, and now an angel of God comes and opens the door, and they are free. And the angel says to them, go back to the temple courts and keep telling people all about Jesus. Keep telling them about the life that he wants to offer them. Keep doing what you're doing. And the disciples obeyed. It didn't take long. If they were wondering if God was still on their side, it didn't take long for him to show up and to prove that, of course, he is. And so they obey that angel, and they go back, and they continue to teach. Now the high priest and his associates, they called together this group of leaders, and they went to the jail to see the disciples, and they weren't there. The officers of the jail, they were like, the guys, they're not here. And so they went back and they reported it, and they said, the jail was securely locked, guards were standing at the doors, but when we opened the doors, nobody was there. And so they began to wonder, okay, what does this mean? So the apostles, they're back at the temple courts. They're continuing to teach. One of those leaders saw them, and they went to bring them back to the others, but this is interesting to me. The Bible says that those leaders were careful not to use force because they were actually afraid that people would stone them. Because, see, the people wanted to hear what the disciples had to say. They wanted to see the sick healed. They wanted to hear about the power of Christ. There was a hunger. Can you think of anybody in your life, in your family, or at your school, or at your workplace, and you can recognize that there's a hunger in them for Christ? And maybe that hunger is being satisfied in Christ, and maybe it's not. But the Bible tells us that the high priest, his leaders, they were afraid to force anything on the disciples because other people were hungry for what the disciples had to say. And I'm so thankful that the disciples continued to obey God because the hungry were fed. And let's just think for a moment about what that means for us. There are people in our world today that want us to stay quiet about our faith. They don't want to hear about it. But there are others who are hungry, and they want to be fed. And so just like the disciples, we've got to be obedient, and we've got to keep going. So the high priest tells the disciples, we have given you strict orders to stop talking about Jesus. Stop it. He threatens them. He warns them. And then Peter, of course, speaks up. And he says, we have to obey God instead of humans. And then he goes on and he tells them about all the wonderful things that God had done. And he said, God raised Jesus from the dead. The same person that you killed by hanging on the cross, he raised him to life. And now Jesus is in heaven, and he's our prince, and he's our savior, and he will redeem us, and he will forgive us. And we are witnesses of these things. We saw them. And so is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with us, and we will continue to obey our God. I love that boldness. He wasn't afraid to go to prison. None of us have to be afraid of going to prison because of our faith. We have brothers and sisters in Christ in this world that do have that fear, but we don't have that fear. And yet sometimes we're quieter than the ones who do face imprisonment and persecution. The disciples didn't want to be quiet. They continued to teach. And then those leaders heard about it, were so angry that they started to say, let's kill the disciples. Let's put them to death. That will silence them. That will stop this. But there was one person among them, and his name is really fun to say. Gamaliel. Can you say that? Gamaliel. Gamaliel. I literally had to write how to pronounce it down because I always forget. Gamaliel comes among the rest of the leaders. And I love what he says. He says, you know what? We've got to be careful what we're doing to these men. We need to leave them alone and let them go. And listen to this. If their purpose is only from themselves and for themselves, it's going to fail. But if it really is from God, you will not be able to stop them. You will only be fighting against God. I'm going to repeat that. He says, if their purpose is only for themselves and from themselves, then it's going to fail. But if it really is from God, you will not be able to stop them. You'll only be fighting against God. Amen? That is truth. That is our truth. Our purpose to proclaim Jesus' name is not from us. It's from God. And so if he's fighting with us, nothing, no one can stop us. In scripture and in some songs, we ask the question, if God is for us, who can stand against us? If God is with us, what can stop us? And we ask the questions. I want us to answer them now. If God is for us, who can stop us? No one. If God is for us, what can stand against us? Nothing. Let's say it louder and with more conviction. If God is for us, who can stop us? No one. And if God is with us, what can stand against us? Nothing. That is truth. And the apostles knew that. And aren't you glad that they didn't stop there? They kept telling the story. Then they wrote it down. And now we get to read about it. And we get to experience it. And we get to benefit from their obedience and their unwillingness to stop, even though they were going to face imprisonment, even though they could have faced death. And so Gamaliel's speech persuaded the other leaders. They ordered them not to speak of Jesus again, but we know they didn't listen to that. And the apostles rejoiced as they left, considering themselves worthy of suffering disgrace of what they went through for the sake of the name of Jesus. Considered themselves worthy of the suffering for Jesus. And day by day in the temple courts, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. The story didn't end on the cross. The story didn't end with the empty tomb. The story continues. Even to today, we are now the disciples. And even though we might not have experienced what these disciples experienced, I hope today that you imagined it well enough to be challenged and encouraged by their obedience and their stance of God's fighting for us. And because of their obedience, one of the other leaders saw that and said, we better leave these guys alone because they've got someone fighting for them that doesn't lose. And so this morning, I want to encourage us and challenge us and remind us that we have someone fighting for us and he does not lose. And we are on the winning team. I want to teach you a new song to finish our service. So I'm going to invite the praise team to come back. This is a song that requires some motions and some movement.